Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Coming up on the Holderness Family Podcast... Trust, regaining it, keeping it.
Having it in the first place. I'm terrified of this entire topic. Have you noticed how quiet I've been?
There are other areas in which trust can be violated in a relationship.
Not forgiving someone who is seeking your forgiveness is like you drinking poison every day and hoping that they get sick.
Right.
All the ways you can screw it up. I want to give Kim some credit. I want to talk positively about something that she's done. Dealing with money, not withholding information, having shame around it, but communicating it to me.
And most importantly, butt face cream.
Is it better as butt face cream or face butt cream? Face butt cream.
Be looking out in Sephora, ladies. Hey, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness. We are that, we're that internet family.
Yeah, we do those kind of weird videos on the Facebook and YouTube, and we love it. If you would do us a huge favor, let me do my like telethon call out. If you could hit the subscribe button on this podcast, if you like it. I mean, if you don't like it, you don't have to. And also leave us a rating and a review.
Yeah, this is our podcast. It's a little different from our videos. We try to have just as much fun, but we're also trying to be better people. That's really the reason why we're doing this. We're trying to suck less at life and marriage.
Should we buy that domain?
Suckless.com? Is it maybe like a,
maybe taken
a
already.
Vampire thing? I don't know.
You're right.
Who knows? But you know, what we do every week, me and Kim and our incredibly engaging producer, Max Trujillo, is try to make the world a better place by being better people. But we fail frequently.
Yes, we fail frequently. Yeah. And those ratings and reviews are so important. And we do read them. And even the ones that say we're funny and I'm a religious listener, but maybe you're a little snobby. We're snobby. If you thought I was snobby before, wait till the end of the podcast where I admit this really stupid thing I did and the money I spent on something. Ooh. I am preparing myself for people to yell at me.
But
I'm trusting the audience to hear my side of the story.
You put it out there. I know it wasn't your favorite thing to talk about, but it was a good example of today's topic, which is
trust. Trust is the holy grail of marriage, and I would say of any relationships. And we brought in our ringer, our expert on this. His name is Christopher Edmonston. He has counseled us in our marriage. He's counseled me on some stuff. He's a pastor. He's very fancy, and he specializes in marriage care. And he walks through. And it's not, trust is not just infidelity. You know, that although that's a big pothole in the road, there are so many more trust issues that all relationships go through.
So away we go as we navigate through trust and parking meter issues. Our old friend Christopher Edmonston is here, and I have never seen so many notes that he's brought. You have some scribble scrabble on a yellow piece of paper, buddy.
Prep work.
Yeah. Apparently, this is a topic that he has lots of thoughts on.
This is a big one. So let's just get right into it. Trust, regaining it, keeping it.
having it in the first place.
Yeah. How? So just Christopher, what are the areas? So here's why you're here. Thank the goodness, Lord. Thank the good Lord. I'm using words today that I'm new at the words, so excuse me. We've not had to deal with infidelity in our relationship, but I do know it is common in relationships, and I know that people heal from it. And we have friends that have worked through it and have healed from it. But there are other, and we'll get to that for sure, but there are other areas in which trust can be violated in a relationship, not just making out with somebody else, right?
Yeah. First of all, two things that are very brief, and then we'll jump right into the infidelity pool and how it affects trust. We'll just go right there.
Okay.
One, I just want the listeners to know that we don't have smell-o-vision. Remember Willy Wonka?
Yeah.
But Max does have the best coffee in Raleigh.
He makes the most amazing coffee. That's the only reason we keep coming back.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Welcome.
And two, my friend Emily was on last week, and she got this great disclaimer, and it was amazing.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Oh, that she's like that she's not meant to be like a licensed doctor or to prescribe medicine.
No, she
medicine
is licensed.
Based
she is a doctor,
totally
but she's not
licensed.
Your doctor.
Right.
Okay,
she's
sorry.
Not your doctor.
Okay,
but
so Christopher is like provides our marriage care and counseling. He doesn't do it for you. Is that what you want us to say?
Yeah, he does, but I don't know that he has earned it.
Well,
like, are you a doctor?
I am a doctor.
Oh, that's right. Oh, dang it! He's gonna hold that over my head.
Yeah.
He's like, thanks.
Thanks.
Ben. Yeah,
you forget so easily.
Yeah.
What I wanted to say as a disclaimer is this topic is big.
There you go.
And if a couple out there is listening to it, a family, a person, you may need therapeutic counseling. Like, you may need therapeutic intervention.
Yeah.
This may be a step in the right direction for you and give you the right questions to ask. But if you have a massive trust issue, and the four or five biggies are addictions, if you're married to someone who's an addict, it's impossible to trust them. Infidelity, of course, when someone is unfaithful. Withholding information, and I really want to get into that one today because that one can sometimes start off in a good place. A lack of reliability, they just don't show up repeatedly. And then finally, over big sort of family issues that affect everyone in the household, typically money. If you are struggling with one of those five things and that's your trust deficit, you may need more than this one podcast. As awesome as I'm going to try to do.
So I think that the best way to put that, and thank you, Christopher, is you can listen to this, but it's not going to solve all of the problems if you're in the deep end of one of these issues. And I'm sure you're not alone if you're in one of those. And so there's probably some resources that we can send people to.
Yeah, I think so. You could probably put some good resources in the comments.
Yeah. And just also knowing that trust has a lot more to do than infidelity, but infidelity is a big one.
It's a huge one because it's the ultimate violation. I mean, you actually take a vow when you get married, particularly if it's a sacred ceremony of any kind at all, where you say, I will not do this. And you've essentially lied once you've gone down that road. And even if you had a secular service, fidelity is assumed behind it, like if you got married at the courthouse. So either way, it's operative in every single home. The main thing to start off with today is to say that trust is one of the holy grails of marriage. It's one of the holy grails of covenant. It's one of the holy grails of human relationship. Everyone falls in love with the person that they marry, at least I hope, at least a little bit. But one of the reasons why you decided to love that person is that you decided at some point you could trust them.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is no relationship in human life amongst family members or amongst a couple, two spouses, that doesn't include trust.
Right. And so what happens when that trust is violated? Can you get it back?
It can be done. It's really, really hard. And the two things that have to sort of take place in order to regain trust is that someone, usually the party that's offended, the husband or the wife who's really hurting because the trust has gone away, has got to learn to practice forgiveness. And that's one thing that I work on with couples all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I give couples a sort of 10 things that you can put into your marriage right now and it will make you better. And I put practice forgiveness. And some people really struggle with that. And some people question why that's important. But to regain trust, someone's going to have to be forgiven. And then the person who is forgiven is going to have to perform over time. You're going to have to show up and not do the things that caused the deficit and the hole in the first place.
We went to this marriage conference. It was hosted by Dave and Rachel Hollis, who we've had on this podcast. and it was their first ever kind of couples conference, and it was eye-opening for us. I mean, we learned a lot. It was a great conference, but there was a moment in time in which one of the participants there kind of raised a hand, asked a question about that forgiveness, and it was pretty impactful in that, you know, I think Rachel Hollis was leading this, and she asked everybody to raise their hand if their marriage had suffered infidelity issues. And I think there were probably three couples in that room who didn't raise their hands. And of course, we're in a different setting because we're at a marriage conference, and you're probably there because your marriage is in, you want to learn more about it, or your marriage is in trouble. So it was really eye-opening to us.
And it took a couple of rounds for them to raise their hands. That was the other part. And I mean, obviously, that's a tough thing to talk about outside of your marriage. It's probably a tough thing to talk about inside your marriage, but she asked them to raise their hands, and at first, like, two people raised their hands, and she was like, nope, I don't believe it. What? We're going to try it again. And then everyone did.
Well, and I think what happens in that situation, when someone, you're at a dinner party and someone starts talking about a struggle that they have, we often quiet up because the shame monster comes up. And shame
is
a beast. It's one of the hardest things that all people deal with. Wherever they are on the earth, shame is just a monster.
I do have one couple friend, because they have been open about who has overcome it. It took intense counseling, but it can be done. So,
and I don't think you can do it alone. I think if your listeners are in that situation and they want to try to patch trust back together, in the case of your example with the Hollises with infidelity, you're going to have to find help. It takes a lot of work, but the help is that commitment over time that I'm talking about. It's going to take forgiveness. However you get there, and there's lots of different methods and means to which you can start to learn to forgive someone else, and it's also going to take that performance over time, in this case, with that counselor.
I will say also, just because I dated a guy, which is not the same as being married, and we dated for a really long time, and he cheated on me all the time. And my issue was I could never learn to trust myself. So be like, yeah, I forgive you. But then I always went a little crazy town. Like, if he didn't answer my call right away, or I just, so it was always suspicious. So I didn't trust myself. So that is where I have advised people, like, if you can't trust yourself to recover fully, then that's time for some help.
I mean, yeah. And you, I think things have changed, and past experience have a lot to do with this, right? And then there's that. There's the baggage that you bring in, and then there's the trust that happens after the relationship starts.
Correct. And I think to past experience, to Kim's example and to your point, what happens is these past experience casts these long shadows into our presence and futures. Mm-hmm. This is true of every person, married or not, that's ever lived. And those past experiences, whether we like them or not, can become triggers. And suddenly a person that we know, maybe we're in a new friendship with them, or our person that we're married to, starts to do things that trigger one of those past experiences, and suddenly flashbacks, we're having trouble believing what they say. It's a complicated thing when we get triggered, particularly from the past. I would say that one of my mentors used to say that life's most fundamental question is, who are you going to trust? Life's most fundamental question is, who you're going to trust. And trust has to stand at the foundation of really every marriage, healthy or not. It's got to be there.
And we're like, within like family relationships, extended family friendships, I would say that has been an extended family. I've had issues where, by the way, I'm a professional grudge holder. Like, nobody can be passive aggressive and hold a grudge like me. So I have to work. But that's what I'm saying. I need to learn how. I need to learn how to forgive, even when they've not really asked for it. And that, how do you do that, Christopher? Tell me.
How do
Why
you
are
forgive?
You laughing? How do you forgive, quite honestly, when they've not asked for it?
I think because forgiveness is remarkably individual. So here's what happens in marriage, I think, is that we join our lives. We say to people, share your hearts, your minds, your bodies, your souls, share it all and do it forever.
Yeah.
And at some point, one of the two people in that marriage is going to let the other down.
Yeah.
It can be a big whammy or a little whammy, but you're going to fail to show up at some point. You're not going to keep a promise. A small promise maybe that you made along the way, you're going to mess up. And so forgiveness has to be part of every single relationship that we have. And if you think about the people that you've been in relationship the longest, friends, family, all sorts of folks, you'll discover pretty quickly that you've forgiven them and given them do-overs lots and lots of times. It's individual and it takes practice. It can start with words. Sometimes prayer is involved. Sometimes journaling is involved. But it has to take a commitment to, I don't like the fact that you and I are feuding. I don't like the fact that my husband and I, my wife and I, that we're arguing, that our trust has left our relationship. I want to gain it back, and I understand that I have to learn to forgive them.
And can forgiveness start, you said, you know, it's words. Can it start with words even if you're not feeling it? You know, even it can just be pretend in the beginning, be like, I forgive you, but in my heart, it's really like torn in a knot, and just to kind of get yourself there.
I am not sure that every person that works with forgiveness as a counselor, a pastor, a therapist, a psychologist would say it this way, but I do think fake it till you make it is a good place to start if you've got nothing else. I really do.
Okay.
Where you're just saying the words and you're making them real out there in the atmosphere, in your life. Your ears are hearing them, your mouth is saying them. That can be a big part of a first step, yeah.
So you're saying just saying it out loud will make you trust somebody more?
Saying it out loud can help you get to forgiveness. And,
okay.
And just saying, I want to trust you over and over to
right.
that person is an expression of an invitation. Earn okay. my trust, and it yeah. can help. And, you know, things in our heads aren't actually real, right?
Right.
We've got to say them. We've got to write them down. We've got to share them with someone. You know, and different people do this different ways.
Isn't that the one thing? I feel like I've always felt like trust. Anytime I try to explain either jealousy or fear of something going on or lack of trust, what's going on in my head and what comes out of my mouth are two different things. And I don't do a great, probably, I don't think anybody does a great job with the part that comes out of your mouth. Like, they would just say something stupid.
Well,
instead of like, hey, I'm vulnerable here. I really am vulnerable and I love you and I just want to be comforted. You say something like, what were you just doing?
Yeah.
Where were you? What are you doing? What did you just spend that money on? Did you just blow that money? We'll get to money in a little bit. But I or we don't have to.
Yeah.
I am terrified of this entire topic. Have you noticed how quiet I've been?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to do this. Because I'm like a golden retriever for the most part.
Yeah.
I have to say, you do a Penn could teach a masterclass on forgiveness and letting things go. And it is, I think, part of it is programming. I think he just came out that way.
Yeah.
But also is it, I don't know actually yeah. what also it is.
Like, we just threw a lot at you, Christopher. I'm
yeah.
sorry.
But I think it is work. Like, you know how an addict has to work every single day to stay sober. And I hate to like trivialize that process because that's an intense, intense process. But forgiveness, it is a work. Like you work it every day.
It is work, particularly if there's been a massive trust violation. So just to go into that one little piece with addiction and then to jump back to the way that Penn kind of asked his question, people who are married to addicts will tell me that even though they've been in years of recovery, AA, they've been to rehab, whatever, they still sometimes have to struggle with the forgiveness and to regain the trust because some of those violations are so, so big. Mm-hmm. Similar to a couple that's, you know, melded it back together after infidelity. If you are in a relationship with someone at work of the opposite sex, right?
Right.
And your partner is going to notice that if you struggle with infidelity before, you need to be prepared to answer for that if you're still trying to make it better. The one thing I would say to Penn's question is that I think it's very difficult sometimes to ask for what we want or need or to say it in a way that the other person understands it. And we are afraid of messing it up, and that makes it intense before we ask it, because marriage is such an intense relationship. And so I think there is a high level of intensity. What I think both people need to know if they get into these conversations about trust and forgiveness is if your person naturally is a grudge holder or has triggers or has those shadows from his or her past, you're going to have to work harder to be forgiven with that person than someone who has grown up, come out of the womb in a golden retriever, sort mm-hmm. of happy, happy childhood. And there are people out there with happy, happy childhoods. Just not...
I've not met many of them.
Yeah, not a lot. Not a lot.
Also, is it unrealistic? So say the wife is the unfaithful one or is the one that is, you know, stepped up. I'm just role-playing here. Susan. We like always use Mitch and Susan.
Mitch and
Susan. Susan has stepped out and, you know, she spent a lot of money and hit it, whatever it is. Is it all right if Mitch keeps asking? I mean, at some point, if she's forgiven, shouldn't she be able to just like be able to go to work without being questioned all the time, or be able to go out with girlfriends without being questioned all the time? Like, at what point does Mitch need to stop questioning her every move?
The answer to that is yes. It's okay if Susan pushes back a little bit, particularly if Mitch has said to her, I have forgiven you and I've moved on, and he actually hasn't.
Okay.
This is much more art than science. Like, this is not algebra. We're not going to get X to equal 6 here. It's probably going to move, you know, on one of those graphs that you do with your kids when they bring home their pre-algebra homework from time to time. And you probably will have to revisit it until you don't. But at some point, if Susan's been forgiven in that scenario, and if Mitch has said, I'm willing to move on and trust you again, then Mitch actually has to put the trust and forgiveness into practice.
Yeah, he needs to move on too.
Absolutely, okay. Because if not, it's just a wound that keeps bleeding. It's like picking a scab. Mm-hmm. Just picking.
I'm going to go back to Mitch, and this is great with Mitch and Susan. So Susan cheats on Mitch. Wait a minute. Mitch is supposed to, and this is just from your experience, is Mitch supposed to say, wait, this happened because I don't trust myself?
No.
Because was a weird turn that you took before that I do not.
No.
I just forgive me for not understanding. I'm asking for forgiveness.
What I mean is after the fact.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's
after the fact. Mitch,
you had a tough time trusting yourself, so Mitch will have a tough time.
Meaning that, like, I trust that I will recover from this. I trust that if this happens again, I'm going to be fine and I'm going to leave.
Right.
I trust that, like, I can trust this person and not create more drama by constantly peppering with questions and being, I need to trust that I can recover.
Got it.
That's what I meant.
Okay. It's fine. I'm glad you gave me clarity, because if I were Mitch and I got cheated on by Susan, I would be thinking more about the fact that Susan was a D-nozzle instead of wondering whether or not I need to get better at trusting people because I didn't do anything.
Sorry. No, I but I will say a person who I love a lot in my life who was cheated on in the marriage, actually did not recover from it, said no great marriage. This doesn't happen in a great, solid marriage. This, there were issues. Like, you know, she raised her hand and said there were obviously issues. And this is what she's like, it's very common, but there are obviously issues that we didn't talk about for a very long time, and it led to this. Mm-hmm. And so that's, yeah. So I feel like we're spending a lot of time in infidelity when I think more commonly there are some other trust issues that there's some traps that our relationships are falling into.
Well, let's move on.
Well, good. One thing I want to say to Kim's point, which I think is important for everyone to hear, is that if you are someone whose trust has been violated, your work in trusting myself, right, that individual who's trying to learn to trust another has to learn to trust themselves, because part of the shame you carry into that, if you've been lied to and you didn't stop it or you weren't aware of it, is that ability to say, how is that feeling you have? How could I have been so stupid? Why didn't I see this sooner? Why did I let it go on for so long? And that's where you have to forgive yourself and learn to trust yourself. Yeah. And that's true in all these areas, whether it's infidelity or addictions or money or whatever it may be.
So what about just failure to show up? And I think that this kind of projects onto friendships and extended family relationships too. Being able to trust somebody who repeatedly just doesn't come through when they say they will.
It's really hard, particularly with the way that I think most people are living their lives now, where schedules are tight and we're running and running and running. And if the other person doesn't show up, it's a crisis for a family, for a marriage. And I think in some ways that may be the easiest to correct of all of them, in essence, because what needs to happen there is the other person who is not showing up simply needs to be more reliable, be better at keeping their word, not committing to things that they say they're going to do when they know that they can't.
Is there a line between, like, talking about trust and or I guess, like, is there a comparison between talking about trust in that case and those, like, secret contracts that we talked about a few podcasts ago, where if you just keep doing it, it's assumed that you're going to keep doing it.
Always, I think so. And then when you stop doing that thing for whatever reason, whatever it is, I think secret contracts was toilet paper, as I recall. It was a toilet paper fairy. Right. I think if we go all the way back to that, if you stop doing those things, suddenly the other person can feel like their trust has been violated, which is that key point to be sure to say why you're doing it. Like, there's never been a marriage where the couple talked enough, and I know that's going to drive some people crazy for me to say that, but we just assume the other person knows what we're thinking, what we're feeling, and they often don't.
Kim and I just recently spent 7 days together with only us.
That'll be our next podcast, by the way.
And I'm just teasing forward. We talked the whole time. There was like there we were in a campsite with no screens. And on the seventh day, I looked at her and I was like, I think we've run out of stuff to talk about. So I am going to disagree with you. We were practicing for Empty Nest, and we're going to talk about this in the next podcast. Christopher, we ran out of stuff to talk about.
That is not true. I had more things to say.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. But maybe we just neither of us wanted to talk anymore. We just started reading quietly next to each other.
No, which was also lovely.
It was great. I just was. It was notable that we are turning into Mort and Midge.
Oh.
Mort and Midge.
The retired couple whose kids have just left, and they're like, and you see them walking on the street now. You're like, why are Mort and Midge just walking and not talking to each other? And now I know.
Now they've run totally out of things get it. To say. Well, I think I need some clarity. Were you camping or glamping?
Glamping.
No, we'll get to it later.
Glamping. We'll get to it later. And it was amazing.
Let's move on to financial trust, because I just feel like on some level that has got to be rampant in every relationship, whether it's a marriage or living with a roommate or whatever's going on.
It's huge. And I want to combine financial trust with withholding information, because I want to sort of say that a lot of times people withhold information in order not to hurt the other person. It's not just so that I won't get in trouble, so I'm not going to tell you. It's I don't want you to be hurt. And typically speaking, the way that most women do this, I mean, God, you know, God bless me in that I'm speaking for women, which is an amazingly dangerous thing to do.
You're on a tightrope here.
I'm on a tightrope, but I think I want to say that most women typically will withhold information, because I think in general, in our culture, we raise little girls not to bother anybody.
Yeah.
And not to like make too much
stink.
Noise.
Don't
make
it,
a stink.
Yeah.
And they don't want to make their husbands angry. Mm-hmm. And most men will withhold information from their wives because they don't want to make them cry, or they don't want to make them upset, or they just don't want to get in trouble. And so it starts off in this good place of
I love you so much, I don't want to hurt you.
Correct.
Yeah.
But what you're doing actually is you're undermining everything, even though your intentions might actually be really good. And I think of all the times when your kids, and I think everybody has this experience with their dad, you know, I did at least with my dad, and my dad is a wonderful dad, but he would say sometimes, just don't tell your mom about this.
Yeah.
We'll fix it. And it wasn't because my mother was a terrible person.
Right? Yeah.
It was because he didn't want to hurt her or let her down.
But what happens when that keeps going? What happens if that's a routine?
Well, eventually the other person will find out, because you're living in the same place. There really are no secrets in a marriage.
Right.
And then what happens is it creates this trust deficit. And the harm of the trust deficit, the spiritual and psychological casualty is, can I believe anything that she's told me if I didn't know about this? And it just eats on us. It's like an eat.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Earworm. Yeah. It just keeps
going.
And
that question comes out like, how long has this been going on, right?
Right. And what else haven't you told me?
How long has this been going on?
You've been...
Sorry, Charlie. I don't know the words. Sorry.
Yeah.
But I do think, again, like...
You really don't.
No, I do think. You want to keep singing, honey?
No, we're good.
Okay.
All right. So I think I have like a good example of all of this, like a Mitch and Susan example of both money and withholding information. Like someone says, hey, I just bought this thing. The Susan does. And Mitch says, how much did that cost? And Susan says, oh, it was on sale.
I'm telling the truth. It was on sale.
It was totally on sale.
You were being, she's being honest, it but not sale. Answering the question.
I had a coupon.
I had a coupon.
That's one that I hear quite frequently.
That's a sweet one. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
So sweet.
Oh, and I back to the whole like withholding information thing, I do think, and I use my parents' marriage sometimes, and I don't want to like, because my parents are lovely, lovely people. They just happen to be better married to other people. But I think that's probably one of the first problems. It was like a withholding information so that there wouldn't be any sort of conflict and like the avoidance of that just initial conflict. And I think that is something that I grew up with. So my trust issues stem from like never – like just be, it was it because it's lying. You're lying when you're withholding information like that.
Ultimately, at best, it's what is called a sin of omission.
Yeah,
which is a lie, or you can say a lie of omission if that helps.
Yeah,
you are withholding something that the other person either needs to know or would have a right to know because they're equal partners in this family with you.
Yeah,
and that's a huge thing. And I think that over time, that has this casualty. It's like a bleed that doesn't stop, and there's no way to get it to stop bleeding because it calls everything into question.
And when that's a habit, though, that's real hard to kick. So if you're the person that's omitting, like, what are the steps? I mean, you can't just start like, I'm going to be honest, starting right now. Like, that doesn't really happen if it's like, what do you do?
Well, it's always easiest to like just start by telling the truth, right?
Right.
But again, that's where the shame monster comes in.
Right.
And so, you know, the husband doesn't get the bonus that he was promised. Like, you know, Chevy Chase, right? You know, Christmas vacation. He gets a jelly of the month club instead of the pool money.
Yeah.
And suddenly he's lying to everyone because there's just that shame monster, right? The wife spends way more money than what was budgeted.
But it was on sale,
and she had a coupon, and tries to hide it somehow, takes it out of an account that only she has, and yet there was an agreement on what they could spend that month on whatever it was that they were buying, whatever widget it was. And so over time, in trying to protect the other person, and maybe even trying to save our own skin some too from that shame monster, all that ends up happening is you end up undermining the very thing that you're trying to preserve. Yeah. The easiest thing to do is to tell the truth, and then in the second place, you know, when it's safe, in other words, when there's not another conflict that's raging,
right,
when there's not another confrontation that you're having, you've got to come clean.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know I should have told you this sooner, but I'm telling you now, and I understand, and this is more my language stuff that sometimes was hard to employ, and I understand that this is going to be hard for you to hear, and it's okay with me if you're a little upset by this, but here's what's been going on.
So whatever moment that was in the podcast, I feel like we should say, go to that moment, because Christopher is the master of building scripts for conversation when it comes to talking to people about it, and that last thing that you said was perfect. I want to give, like, and we can edit this out if you don't want to talk about this, but I want to give Kim some credit. I want to talk positively about something that she's done. Dealing with money, not withholding information, like having shame around it, but communicating it to me in the last week. And I'm very proud of you for this. Are you okay talking about this?
I don't know. I think we can edit some stuff.
Okay.
I got scammed seriously hard. We were on vacation and, you know, and so I go into this store and they're like, oh, face creams. And they like put it on my face and it's probably Preparation H. You know how Preparation H under your eyes like puffs your eyes out? My eyes looked so good. And I was like, oh my God, I want this.
I didn't even know that.
No, I don't. By the way, don't put Preparation H under your eyes. I've heard it. I've never done it before.
People put it on all parts of their bodies.
I haven't done it, but I've heard that it's like an amazing eye cream.
I think I saw that on Miss Congeniality. Maybe that's where I saw it.
By the way, guys out there who like want to pretend like Miss Congeniality wasn't a good movie,
it was amazing.
Shut up. Get off the podcast right now. It was awesome.
So
let's move on.
So we were
Sandra
traveling.
Bullock is a national treasure.
I don't want to say how much I spent on it because that's embarrassing. I'm not going to say.
We can withhold that information.
Yes, but it was way more than I'd ever spent on an eye cream ever. And it was like made me sweat, but I was like, this is going to change my life. I'm in my 40s. I am fighting gravity hard. I refuse to age gracefully. I'm going to buy this eye cream. It is going to change my life.
Let me interrupt. So I saw all this coming. I was there with her. It was this like boutique place in the middle of the U.S. Open where there's like pop-up stores all over the place, and there's probably a lot of income. We weren't there for the U.S. Open. We just happened to be in the same town. So I saw this happening. I was like, honey, I'd like to remove myself from this situation. I'm going to go somewhere else, which is it may have been like a little passive aggressive doing it. But bottom line, I didn't want to be there when he said how much it cost, because I didn't want to be the guy who was like, what? You can't do that. Well, she makes just as much money as I do.
Here's what was going through my mind. My eyes looked amazing for the first time in like 8 years. I didn't look tired. It was amazing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. So it was insanely, it was way more than I'd ever spent on an eye cream or anything. And, but I'm like, this is going to change my life because I'm going to look so amazing. I was checking out. I was like, I started sweating a little bit. I'm like, oh my God. So I put in the card, I signed it, and it was like this big box bag thing. And I think because I was like, so, he goes, you're traveling, we'll ship it to you. And they were giving me all, because it was so expensive, they're giving all these like free samples on all this like free stuff. So it was like this bag of like, I think they saw like, hey, you're spending a lot of money. Let's just like throw in all the stuff. I'm like, yeah, actually, that would be great if you could ship it to me. I'm such So I'm like, yeah, give them my address. They have my email address. I get an email right away that's like, I have this, like the whole thing. So I leave there. And as soon as I meet Penn, I'm like, he goes, how much was that? And I like told him. And
she he's told like, me. I was so proud of her.
I gulped. And he's like, for the love of God. And I just
didn't understand.
Yeah.
Because it's a little bottle.
Yeah. Well,
you know, but she told me. Like, that was.
And so.
You didn't withhold information.
The next day. Because we were picking up the kids from camp, we'll get into this. I had some serious like buyer's remorse, like regret. Like, yeah. So I called the store,
and I think I said something like, "I bet that was a yogurt shop that they switched into a cream shop."
Yeah. So I called the store, and I'm like, "Actually, this is I don't know what I was thinking. This is not something that's in our budget." The phone number didn't work. So I found it because I used to be an investigatory journalist. I found another number and I called. I found an email address. I'm emailing. I'm like, guys, I need an email. It's not left the store. I have no shipping notification. I want a refund right away. So I called Saturday. I called Sunday. I called Monday. And then obviously I put a stop on my credit card. Like I did a dispute. And now I'm finding like all these scams online for this company. And I used to be an investigatory journalist.
No matter how many people you leave bruised and bloodied along the way.
That's a Zoolander quote. I feel so... But it was like keeping me. It was keeping me up on like Friday and Saturday. Like I couldn't sleep over it. And
so finally, monster.
It was a shame. So finally on Monday, I told him, I'm like, hey, listen, I'm having trouble tracking these people down. I feel really embarrassed. I'm feeling like so stupid for A, spending that money, and now B, that like it was probably a scam.
So I want you guys to give each other a hand hug or a high five or a hug or a kiss because that story, the way that you were able to share it and the way that you were able to say when it was all over, I went to him and I said, I'm so sorry. That tells me you have high trust. Mm-hmm. Couples who don't do that.
No, I didn't know.
That's lovely.
That's
why I wanted to give her credit. Yeah. And we should high five or like make out or something. Whatever. Whatever. It's not like they can watch. It's fine.
But the credit card company, although the charge cleared, they're disputing, investigating, and within 90 days, I should get my money back. I feel it's embarrassing because again,
but you told me about it. Like that was that
but I was super. I was like, I'm so embarrassed. I just spent money that like we. It's embarrassing. I'm like I should. Well, it's embarrassing.
So think. What's the most common trust exercise we all did at camp? Trust fall. Yes. Right. Trust fall. And the trust fall works in essence because I'm sure the person's going to catch me. And I wasn't there when all this happened, obviously. But in that moment, you knew that you could trust your person enough to say, I cost the family money.
Right.
And I know you're going to catch me when I tell you this.
And I have to, and I give him credit. He did not lose his cool.
No.
He was like, okay, we'll get through this. We'll figure it out. We'll be fine. And he could have lost his cool at what that was because I mean, I don't know. I was definitely, I'm like, oh my God. But I'm sure it was Preparation H, by the way. They were telling me all these things. I'm like, this is going to be life changing.
He put some on my face too while I was there.
It was definitely
Is that what it is today that I see?
Yeah.
No. It's glasses.
And he's like, this will, and results, glasses. You'll use this for a year, and results will last for 5 years. And it was like this whole song and dance.
Okay.
I know, but I am basically next step, like calling the police. But anyway, that's just what we've been dealing with.
Yes. And so you notice Kim is going back to the situation itself. I brought it up, and thank you for talking about it. I know it's not easy to talk about, but that was like a really tough thing for her to do, to walk up to me and tell me the price tag on something like this. And she told me why she bought it. And I mean, like, we're partners in this whole thing, right?
Yeah.
And also, there could be like a whole other episode about, like, I need to be okay with looking in the mirror and seeing a 43-year-old as opposed to a 23-year-old.
I can't win that argument. Like, that's an insane thing.
And I love you, but it's weird to see your aging face mm-hmm. when it didn't used to look that way. And I am jealous of the people who are just okay with it. And I'm like, I'm buying the creams and I'm doing the things and the stuff.
How do you feel about the people who look insane because of how much, like, botulism they're pumping into their faces?
No, but I'm not. That's what I'm saying. That's not what I'm like, this is a natural way to do it. I'll put butt cream on my face. But I'm like, no, absolutely. I'm like, this is going to be just amazing. I can pretend I'm aging gracefully, but I'm fighting it like a ninja. Yeah.
So let's flip the tables and make it Mitch and Susan. So Susan buys butt face cream for an exorbitant amount of money.
Way too much money.
And in shame, tries to hide it.
Right.
Because she's busted the budget. It was more than she had agreed with Mitch maybe ahead of time that they could spend on fun purchases like that or on beauty products or whatever the scenario is. And months and months and months go by. And then finally Susan fesses up to Mitch and says, Mitch, I need to tell you about something that happened last summer. And what I'm talking about trust deficit isn't that you're going to get in maybe a little trouble with your person, whether they handle it well or not, when you fess up. I mean, a person's going to react how they're going to react. As long as they're not abusive, they're not hateful, they have a right to be upset if you've done something that you weren't supposed to do in your marriage, right? But imagine months and months go by. That trust deficit isn't just that it happened. It's that Mitch walks away saying, why did it take her so long to tell me? And what else haven't I been told? So telling the truth, seeking forgiveness and performance over time. Telling the truth, seeking forgiveness, performance over time. You told the truth. You sought forgiveness. You tried to get him on board with the face butt cream purchase, right? And performance over time in that case would be you just don't buy any more face butt cream.
Yeah, butt face cream. I'll just go. Honestly,
should we buy that website right now just in case?
buttface.com.
Is it better as butt face cream or face butt cream?
I think.
Face butt cream.
Be looking out in Sephora, ladies.
Or butt. Yeah.
I mean, it was, anyway, I'm a sucker. There's a sucker born every minute. But thank you for your way of handling. And, like, seriously, a masterclass in, I do know people who would have lost their cool, yelled and screamed, slammed a door. And honestly, if I knew he typically reacted that way, I don't know that I would have been honest with it. I think I would have tried to get the refund and do all that stuff, but just in secret.
And here's the holy grail, right? You knew you could trust to some degree that the reaction would occur that would at least give you space to breathe.
Right.
Because he's earned that over time.
I don't know what if I would have done that with other people in my life.
So if you want people to give you their trust, this is almost like an aphorism or a proverb. If you want people to give you their trust, you yourself have to be trustworthy. You have to be trustworthy of that information, trustworthy of that process of forgiveness, truth-telling, performance over time.
Yeah.
It's always a partnership. The person's willingness to say something that is difficult, fess up to a lie, fess up to a mistake, fess up to a bad purchase, whatever it may be, is going to be related to how they think the other party is going to react. And if you react poorly over and over again, you're probably not going to get told everything that you need to know.
Because I mean, I'll raise my hand and say that would be a tough thing to face every single time I screw up, because I screw up a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all do,
Everybody
right?
Everybody does.
We all do. I mean, again, marriage, intimate, intense. Slam two lives together and say, share everything, kids, forever.
Forever.
You're going to screw up. It's not to avoid the screw-ups forever. I mean, don't screw up intentionally.
Right.
But it's not to say every marriage is going to have conflict, it's going to have trouble. How do you manage that conflict? How do you manage the rapids, the rough water? That's always the question.
And if you don't want to go to a higher class rapids, just work together, too.
Yeah. That's correct. That's right. Well, I mean, that's one of the things that's unique about the two of you, that other than couples and other family businesses, they don't really face that as much as you two do.
We face a lot of stuff. And again, and then we got on vacation for a week together because we dropped the kids off at camp. And again, that's next week's podcast. And then it was just us. We're like, wait a second. We work together. We live together. We raise kids together. Why are we doing this together? We don't need this.
It was fun. We'll talk about that. Teasing forward. Well, I mean, you keep mentioning that I am good at forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Some of that is probably natural. You know, I was taught that by... I had a pastor as a father, and like there's this book that he tells me about all the time that's basically a big book of forgiveness, at least the New Testament is. That's the one that we focused on the most. The other part of me learning how to forgive actually came from having friends and people close to me who have struggled with addiction and learning how to forgive through that. And it has required counseling, and it has required like professional help. Learning how to deal with that. But the simplest way to talk about it for me is you have to look at the person in front of you, whether they're struggling with addiction or whether they're buying butt face cream, and say, this is the best they can do right now.
The best. And not
why aren't you doing better? And I feel like that's helped me get through some tough times.
I think that's the beginning of the process, which is that this person before me is worthy. I'm going to try to forgive them because they're worthy of my love. They're worthy of an intersection with my life. And for us to move on, I've got to acknowledge that they're trying as hard as they can and they're bringing their best to it. Now, of course, that assumes that the person is authentically trying to make like some sort of amends for what's happened. That there's been a proper I'm sorry, you know, whatever that manifests itself and how it looks like in your relationship. The one thing I would say about forgiveness, and this is, you know, every now and then I get pretty pastory, and this is pretty pastory in this sense, that not forgiving someone who is seeking your forgiveness is like you drinking poison every day and hoping that they get sick.
Right.
And what you're doing is you're psychologically and spiritually just carrying all that anger inside, and it will eat you too. And so, yes, forgiveness is part of trust, and it's a hard, hard thing maybe to build back up once it's been lost. But refusing to forgive someone or even try is hurting you just as much as it's hurting your relationship with them.
You gave me the advice one time when you were counseling me through some stuff, and you said something like, most of the people you meet every single day are trying the very best they can. And I think that helped reframe things for me, that like this person who hurt me is actually trying. And that this is just, even if they don't view it as a screw up, it was a screw up that hurt me, but they are actually, they are trying the best they can. And this is all they're capable of.
Most people out there, unless they are really broken, and brokenness is mental illness, addiction, social anxiety, whatever, unless they're carrying something big, most people most of the time are doing the best they can with what they've got.
Yeah. And I think kind of getting out of my own head and getting out of my own self and being able to look like, oh, they're not doing this just to hurt you. They're not like driving a knife into just to hurt you. This is just how they can protect themselves. And this is...
Right. Yeah. I think that's exactly right. They have some need because of their own shame, because mm-hmm. of the complexity of their own life, their own baggage that they're carrying, that they're lashing out in that mm-hmm. moment for whatever reason. Big lash, small lash, it doesn't matter.
But there is a point in time when like forgiveness, there only so much, like it doesn't work, right?
Right. Well, yeah. I think there are some people who ultimately, I think the term that's sometimes thrown around are just toxic to you.
Right.
There's just so much hurt or so much wound that you almost have to cut off relationship with them in a regular fashion.
Right.
That does happen. The trick there, right, always is to both protect yourself and to let that person go. You are going to ultimately maybe not forget what has happened there, but you're not going to be able to allow it to consume so much of your thought and soul space, because if you do, then they're still hurting you. And I think, you know, again, the main question of life, like my mentor taught me, is who do you think that you can trust?
Yeah.
That's the biggest question of all human relationships. And we marry the persons that we marry because those are the folks that we decide that we can trust the most. I can trust this person with my heart, with my soul, with my time, with my future.
Yeah.
And that is what I think has to be protected in all of our most special relationships, and especially in our marriages.
Okay.
Tell the truth early and often. Like, if I could say anything to couples, the truth will never betray you, even if it's hard. It's in trying to cover it up that you create the trust deficits.
And it always comes out.
Oh, there are no...
So might as well just start there.
You know, I'm going to say there are no secrets in marriage. It's possible that, like one of those crazy movies where the dad dies and they find out he's got like five families,
right,
that's happened to someone. And so, but I'm going to stand by that. All secrets eventually come out, because even in that scenario, the secret came out. It just didn't come out while the person in that scenario or that player, that movie, was alive. It always comes out. The truth always rises to the top. Mm-hmm. And I think telling it, even if it's hard, even if it carries a ton of shame, is really the only way to maintain trust in a relationship.
What if somebody suspects that there's something going on with the other person? I don't suspect anything, by the way. I'm just trying to think about this.
That I bought more butt face cream?
Let's use that as an example. Or how about this? Like, this is probably a more real example. What if I suspected that Kim was having an affair? Okay? And because you're so good at this script,
she's right? way too introverted for that.
She doesn't have time, and that's the main issue.
And I don't want to make light of this, because I do know that there are real people who have suspicions. But I will say the answer to that is I wouldn't have time. But,
well, I will say that I've had I don't know how many people come to me and talk about infidelity over the years. It's a big number.
Yeah.
And one of the first things I always think is, how did you have time for that? Like, like, honestly, how did you have time?
Honestly, it really only takes about 45 seconds. So, no, I'm joking. I got Max to laugh. That's
But I would say, I don't want to make light of this. It's very. But
I know. So, but here's the question I had. Okay?
But if you suspect something.
Doesn't mean it's happening.
No.
It's like, I have irrational fears. We've talked about this before. Let's say I legitimately thought that I had a rational belief that Kim was having an affair with me, and I wanted to bring that up without violating trust or looking like an idiot.
Well, so
what's the script for that?
I mean, it's a hard script. That's maybe one of the hardest ones, because there are some things that once said cannot be taken back. So an example is, you know, when a couple gets engaged, will you marry me? Like, you don't take that back. Like, it's either a yes or a no, and everything has changed because the question has been answered. And one of the funny things that sometimes couples will talk about in premarital counseling is, like, the weight of that, the weight on the asker and then the weight on the responder. And it instantly shifts. You know, it instantly shifts. So some things can't be unsaid. And I think when you say to your partner, to your person, to your spouse, I am worried that that something's going on here that would hurt me very badly, you don't take that back.
Right.
And so how you say it has to be pretty ginger. And what I think probably is the only healthy way that I can imagine it transpiring, because usually when that conversation happens, I'm not there. And very few people that have had that conversation have found me ahead of time to have it. Maybe one or two over 20 years have come to me and said, how do I talk to this? How do I talk to my person about it? And I've heard everything from private investigators to taking a day off from work without the other person knowing and following them around for the day. I mean,
we have a friend that went down like that.
I think, you know, by the time you're approaching 50 years of age like I am, you know, you've heard it all. But my guess is the only way to have that conversation well, if you are suspicious and don't have some sort of proof, right, some sort of fact-based, like, I'm going to testify to you that I know this is happening. If it's just a suspicion, is to say, I suspect something and I'm really worried about it, and I hope I'm wrong, But if I'm not, I need to hear you speak about it. Mm-hmm. And then let's say the answer really is no, and you come to believe that answer is no, then that couple would need to have a conversation about what was going on.
Why did that
made
happen?
Me suspect it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, but that script, that was a good, like, generic kind of way to put it. And that could be about addiction. That could be about money. That could be about any of these other things.
Yeah, withholding information.
I have a suspicion. I hope I'm wrong about it, but I need to. Right. I need to ask you
and
about it.
I'm just huge on body language. We've talked about this so many times, the three of us. You know, making sure you're calm, you're sitting down, even some cues like you and I need to talk, and this is going to be difficult for me, and it's probably going to be hard for you. This is going to be hard for us, but I have some things that I've got to get off my chest. And sitting down, calm, some prep work. And the words that you choose there are really, really, really important about any of these issues. I mean, you're talking about trust, which is the most sacred space of your marriage. Trust, love, like that's the holy grail of marriage, those two things. They have to exist or else, you know, your marriage is a half marriage at best.
Thank you so much for coming in here and talking to us about this.
I've loved it. It's been wonderful.
Your parking meter has successfully been re-upped.
So I'm not going to get a ticket.
You're not going to get a ticket.
See, I trusted you with your app pen.
Yes.
And
Did you know that I looked at the time and then I...
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Yeah. Anyway,
it was amazing how y'all had my back.
I did
a trust fall with the parking meter.
Yeah.
And the two of you caught me.
Yeah. if you've made it this far in the podcast, we appreciate you and thank you. You can even take a screenshot and tag us on Instagram at the Holderness Family. And we love to comment and have feedback. If you have any feedback, if you have any life experience you'd love to share, we'd love to see it. We have a super secret Facebook group. It's not secret. All you have to do is search for it. It's the Holderness Family Podcast. We have great discussions over there and I love it.
Bye.
That's it. Okay, bye. We're leaving now. Bye.